Then let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel chapter 4 tonight. Daniel chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We're going to read a good bit of the chapter as we begin tonight. We're still in the book of Daniel. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar tonight. This is the story in Daniel chapter 4 where Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy. So we're going to call this a portrait of insanity this evening. A portrait of insanity. But Daniel chapter 4 and verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages, and dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. If we look down in verse 8, it says, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. And if we look down to verse 19, so the king tells him the dream, and then in verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God, and we're thankful that we can spend once again some time studying it tonight. Lord, help us. We pray that you'd guide us and direct our thoughts this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There was a man in the 1800s in Spain. His name was Manuel Romasanta, and he was a serial killer in Spain in the 1800s. And he was first charged with murder in 1844. He was charged with murder, but they never caught him. So he went into hiding for an entire year, and they didn't know where he was for a year. And then he surfaced in the south of Spain, under an assumed name. He had a different identity, and he did a lot of different jobs there. One of the jobs he got was as a guide, and he would guide people through the mountains and to the different places they wanted to go. And as he was guiding people, several women and children that he guided ended up disappearing. And he had ways of covering his tracks and hiding things. And he would write letters to their families that they had arrived where they were going and that they were safe. And so it took him a while to figure out that these women and children had gone missing. But finally, in 1852, he was arrested for these killings. They finally caught up with him. And he was brought to trial for the murders that he had committed. And he presented kind of an unusual defense, because at his trial, he admitted to 13 murders, but his defense was that he was a werewolf and that he had committed these murders when he was transformed into a wolf. And so he was not under control. He was not in control of himself when he committed these murders. He was a werewolf. It was his defense. And the prosecutor asked him, well, can you show us? Can you transform, right? Which is an obvious question, like prove it, like let's see you transform. And he said that this curse only lasted for 13 years and it had ended 2 weeks before. Like it had just ended. I would, but I can't because the curse has ended. Right? How convenient for him. Now, I don't know if he actually believed this, if he actually believed this about himself, or if he was just trying to enter like an insanity plea in his defense. But either way, it was insanity, right? It is insanity to think that someone would do this. And for someone to believe this for themselves, that they could transform into a wolf, right? They were some sort of werewolf. But it's insanity, right? And insanity is defined as the inability to think or behave in ways considered to be normal and rational, right? It's not thinking and behaving according to like rationality or to reality. And it's crazy for someone to think or act like something that they are not, to really believe that they are something that they are not. And I know we can all like have fun with costumes and different things, but there's a difference between that and really believing that you are something that you are not. It's craziness, it's insanity to truly believe and think and live contrary to what reality actually is. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 goes insane, right? It talks later about his reasoning and his understanding coming back to him. He was certifiably insane. He lost his mind. And the Bible describes what happens to him in verse 33, that he starts eating grass like an oxen. Now, the word grass here is broader than just grass, so it could also include vegetables, right? I mean, I'm not going to go into vegetarianism or any of that, but right, this is what he did, because it wasn't just what he ate, it's how he ate it. He was eating it like an oxen, right? Out there, I picture him hands and knees, right, in the grass, just feeding himself, and like in the gardens and eating those things. Uncivilized, right? Just having lost his mind. He's driven from them, right? Because of this insanity, he's driven from men. He's out there, his body is wet with the dew of heaven. He's not taking care of himself anymore. He's living like a wild animal. He allows his hair to grow until it's like eagle's feathers. It's all matted and disgusting. He's not taking care of himself. His nails are like bird's claws. You would look at him and not know that this used to be the king of Babylon. He's lost his mind. And people looked at him and went, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? And he was just driven from men and living out in the wild like an animal, right? This insanity that takes over. His mind clearly wasn't right. His mind clearly had gone. His understanding had left. He had broken from reality. But I believe what God is showing Nebuchadnezzar, and really what God points out to us, is that Nebuchadnezzar was crazy before this. Nebuchadnezzar was crazy before this took place. And I call it a portrait of insanity because his insanity didn't start with that first mouthful of grass where he goes out there and gets on his hands and knees and starts eating grass. That's not where his insanity started. It started when he lived as a king, in the way that he was thinking, even as this king of Babylon. And the thought tonight is, if Nebuchadnezzar can be crazy, even as a king, right, even running a country and doing all those things to make a prosperous country, if it was possible for him to be crazy, is it not possible that we might be a little crazy tonight? And I don't think anybody here believes they're a werewolf. I don't think anybody is out there eating grass. I hope not, right? But I think it's possible that there's ways that our mind is not in sync with the reality of Scripture, that we think about ourselves in ways that Scripture does not teach, right? That the reality of the truth of the Word of God is not sometimes how we think about ourselves, how we consider ourselves. And verse 30 is a portrait of the insanity of Nebuchadnezzar before he is out there eating grass and living like an animal. And I want to see this evening, because here's how he was crazy. Because it's crazy to think that you're powerful, that you're mighty when you're not. It's crazy to think that you are mighty when you're not. So look in verse 30. Here is his words. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power?" So here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's walking through his palace, the Bible says, in Babylon. He's looking at all the splendor of everything, right? All that he had done. And he said, "I built this by my power." And that was his insanity, to think that was his might and that was his power. If I took you on a tour of New York City, right, and we're walking through New York City, and I'm taking you down Fifth Avenue, and I take you to the Empire State Building, and we walk by, and I go, "Yeah, I built that. I built the Empire State Building." You'd be like, "Okay, pretty sure you didn't. Pretty sure it's older than you, right?" And so we keep going, right? We get on the ferry, and we're going out, you know, in the harbor there, and I point at the Statue of Liberty, and I say, "Yeah, you would not believe how much like copper that took me to make that," right? And I talk about that. And then you're like, "Wait a minute, he really believes this." Like, he's gone crazy. He really thinks he built New York City, right? You go, that's a little crazy, right? Not just I'm joking, right? Or I'm being sarcastic. But you go, he really believes that he made this, right? You'd go, there's some screws loose, right? There's, like, he's crazy. He's insane if he really truly believes that he built this, right? You would say that's crazy. But I think it's a bit different. That illustration's a bit different than Nebuchadnezzar's case, because Nebuchadnezzar did build Babylon, right? In many ways, he was the king, and he was the one who, right, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world back in those days, he built those. He commissioned them, at least, and maybe designed them, I don't know. He helped with all of that. He did defeat Israel. He defeated the Egyptians. He defeated the Assyrians. He had done a lot of work to actually build Babylon and to make it the city and the nation that it was. He had built it, but yet he was still claiming to himself a power that he did not have. He was claiming a power and a might that was not his in reality. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. As Israel is about to enter into the promised land, Moses is giving them his final words. And so he tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And you can understand, I think, Israel's, maybe their thought, right? And so Moses tells them, listen, when you're in the promised land and you've gotten everything and you have, you know, conquered people and you have gone out there and with your hands, you've conquered the enemies that's there and you've built things and you've done stuff. He says, don't claim that power for yourself. He says, it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. We could put it this way. The power that they had was on loan from God. God had given it to them. The ability they had, the success they had, all of that came from God. Any power we have is loaned to us from God. And what do we call it when we take things for ourselves, when we put our own name on things that have been loaned to us? We would say that is stealing, right? I borrowed a tool from someone not too long ago, and then I gave it back, right? What I didn't do was borrow that tool and then scratch my name into it and say, this is now my tool because I was borrowing it, right? And if it is not mine, then it's not mine to put my name on it. And when we borrow things, right, it's good for us to keep a clear distinction in our mind that this is not ours. We're going to give it back, right? Even though I'm using it and accomplishing things with it, I go, it's not mine. And that is power. That is ability. What God gives to us is not ours. It is loaned to us from God. And it's crazy for us then to look at it and go, this is mine. Look what I have done. Look what my power has accomplished. Because in reality, it's not our power. It's God's. And yet we sometimes can live in a reality where that is our power and it's our ability. And look what we are accomplishing and look what we are doing. When we start to claim God's power as our own, we've broken from reality and we've gone crazy because it's not our power. And yet we sometimes claim that it is. We're crazy if we start claiming God's power for our own. Sometimes when people will compliment me on a message, you know, at the end, they'll say, you know, that was a great message or something. I'll usually say one of two things. I will either say thank you or praise the Lord. And I say thank you because I want to thank them for the encouragement and, you know, the kindness in what they said. So sometimes I'll say thank you. But sometimes then, most of the time, I'll say praise the Lord, right? Because that is a reminder for me and for them that any good that happens is not from me. It's all from the Lord. And there are times I come home from church and I'll tell Erica, I'll say something to Erica along the lines of, well, that wasn't my best work. Right? Because sometimes you're like, well, you know, if I had more time to study or if I had, you know, having gone through it now, I'd rearrange some things or I'd do some things different, right? But even there's a trap in that for me, because the trap is that I start thinking that I am what makes a sermon good, right? Or that if I say things smooth or clear, that I am the power behind this sermon. And I need to remind myself that it's not me. Anything good that happens is from God. It's always his power, right? And there has to be that understanding in all of us that whatever ability or power or anything that's accomplished is all from God. And it's crazy for us to take the power that God has given to us and go, look what I did. Look at how great I am. Look at my power. Because that's not what reality is. The reality isn't that it is our power. It's that it's God's power. Psalm 29 and verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. It says, okay, you that are mighty, give God that might. Accredit it all to God. Give God all the praise and all the glory. Thank God for that. Give all of your might to the Lord because it's not yours. That's clear thinking. That is wisdom to say it's not me. It's not my power. It's God's. It's insanity for us to say, look at how great I am. Look at the power and might that I have and look at all I've accomplished with my own strength. We've broken from reality. Because the reality is, it's not our power, it's God's. But here's another way, if we're back in Daniel chapter 4, there's another way that we see is insanity. In verse 30 again, he says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? And he says, and for the honor of my majesty. It's crazy to think that you're in charge when you're not. It's crazy to think you're in charge when you're not. He says, I built all of this kingdom, and he says, I did it for the honor of my majesty. And so Nebuchadnezzar had built Babylon, and in his eyes, he was the supreme ruler of everything. And all that he saw really only confirmed it for him. There was nobody greater than him in that kingdom. Anything he wanted to do, he could just do it. Anything he wanted to have, he could acquire it in some way. If he wanted people to do something, he could command them to do that. He was in charge of this kingdom, and everywhere he looked, it just confirmed to him how powerful and authoritative he was. But it's crazy to think that you're in charge when you're not, right? Next time you're at a, next time you're on an airplane, right? Try and go up to the cockpit. That's the word I'm looking for, right? Try and go up there and just knock on that door and say, I demand to fly this plane. I am now in charge. See what happens, right? Next time you're in Washington, D.C., walk right into the White House and try and get into the Oval Office and see what happens, right? Be like, I'm in charge. You are not in charge, right? And when you're crazy to think and really truly believe that you are in charge when you're not, right? And here's Nebuchadnezzar thinking all of this. But again, it's different for Nebuchadnezzar, right, than that illustration, because he was in charge. He was the king of Babylon. He had a responsibility to run the kingdom. He had a responsibility to be in charge and to manage everything. But he overstepped and he overestimated his control. He overestimated what he was in charge of. Now, I have a sort of kingdom as well. My kingdom's not quite as grand as Nebuchadnezzar's. It's about a third of an acre in Montville. So it's, as kingdoms go, it's not the best. I'm happy with it, though. I've got 3 subjects and a wife. I was very careful not to say 4 subjects. But, you know, we've got our positions of, like, authority and responsibilities, and we have people that are under our authority, and there's ways that we are in charge in different ways. But we have to be careful to think that we're not in complete control and we're not in charge of everything. We start thinking we're in charge of everything when we only give orders and we don't take any orders. Because no matter where we are in life, no matter how we climb on the ladder of authority in this life, we're always in a position to take orders. I don't care how high you get and how in charge you are of everything in this life, you're still in a position to take orders because you're always under God. Always, right? We are always in a position where God is our master and he's in charge. And when we stop taking any orders from God, we've put ourselves in the position of God, because God doesn't take orders. Nobody tells God what to do. God gives orders. God does not take orders. And when we put ourselves in that position where we say, I give orders, but I don't take orders, we put ourselves on the same level as God. Because really what we should be doing is giving orders, sure, in the ways we have to, but always taking orders from God. Always. Always saying, I do what God tells me to do. When we stop taking orders, we've gone crazy. Because all of a sudden we're thinking that we're in charge and we're living like we are the one in charge when we're not. And I think it can look innocent enough, right? Because I think not taking orders looks like, well, we don't read our Bible, you know, and we're not in the Word listening to what God has for us. It can look like us just going about our lives, but not thinking about God, not seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit, not praying and asking God for wisdom. It's really in all the things that we stop doing that all of a sudden we've said, you know, I'm not taking orders anymore. I'm not listening to God. And in doing so, we start to elevate ourselves to the position of God, saying, I am in complete control and I don't take orders from God. And we begin to act and think like we're in charge when we're not. Nothing anybody does, even Satan, can challenge God and can take away God's authority. Nothing is going to change that. The reality is God is in charge no matter what. No matter what happens, right? No matter what we do, no matter what we think, God is in charge. And it's crazy for us to act like that's not true. to act like somehow we've become in charge. It's breaking from reality and from how things actually are. And it took this episode for Nebuchadnezzar to understand this, to understand that he was not in charge like he thought he was. If you look in verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, while he said this, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God says, I'm going to take it from you just so you know that you are not in charge, that I'm in charge. And it took this insanity on Nebuchadnezzar's part for him to understand how crazy he was to think that he was in charge and that God was not. Nebuchadnezzar was insane. He went insane. But he was crazy before he went and started eating grass and growing out his hair and his nails. He was crazy because he thought he was powerful when he wasn't. And he was crazy because he thought he was in charge when he wasn't. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't eaten a lot of grass lately. I did have salad at Thanksgiving because it's there and I kind of get guilted into it. But, you know, we don't think we're a cow, right? I don't think any of us thinks that. Nobody here thinks that we're actually a wild animal, right? But we still might be a little crazy in some ways, but also in this way tonight. There still might be a little bit where we're not thinking according to what actually is, according to the reality of how God says things are. We might have broken from reality in how we view ourselves. And I want to look, the end of the story is in verse 34, down to the end of the chapter, because Nebuchadnezzar's mind comes back to him. Verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. No power, not in charge. And he, God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. He came back to his authority, right? His kingdom was back, right? That honor and that majesty, that authority. But now look what he says, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And look at the last thing he says. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar's mind came back. And it wasn't just because he started acting like a human, because he, you know, cut his hair and his nails and he started eating normal food again. He wasn't living outside. His mind didn't just come back in that way. His reasoning returned to him because he also started living in humility. That's what he said. In the end, he says, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And we see the statements that he makes that no longer is he the top, no longer is he supreme, but he now recognizes God. He recognizes the King of heaven. This is wisdom. This is understanding. What did James say was one of the defining characteristics of true godly wisdom? It was meekness. It was humility. It was understanding who God is and who you are in relationship to God. And I think we need to ask ourselves, are we crazy? Have we gone insane? Not entirely, but in part, in ways, where we've been taking to ourselves power and ability that are not ours. And we've been laying claim to our success in ways that we should not, because they're not ours, it's all God's. Have we stopped taking orders from God? Have we put ourselves in charge, saying, I'm the authority in my life? And maybe we would never say those words, but maybe we live that way. Maybe we've just stopped listening and going to God for what he wants, for his direction, for his instructions. And we've just been living our lives how we want to. Have we gone crazy? Are we living in a way that does not correspond with the reality that God lays out in His Word. Our understanding comes back when we live in humility. When we praise God, say, Lord, You are mighty, I am not. When we honor Him, and we say, Lord, You direct my life, not me. Lord, You are all powerful and I am not. Lord, You are in charge and I am not. A portrait of insanity. I wonder if it's crept into our lives a little bit, and if we need to get back to what the Bible says and live in humility. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank You tonight for the way Your Word confronts us. Lord, the way it helps us to think correctly about who we are and about who You are in our life. Lord, we pray that You would point out the ways in which we have been thinking in a way that is not accurate, or in a way that doesn't please You. Lord, may we truly just humble ourselves before You, Lord, and live in the wisdom of Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.